You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woo, 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 woo. All right. So earlier today, it was reported that LeBron James Jr., Bronny James, is going to enter the transfer portal, declare for the NBA draft, but maintain his college eligibility. How do you do all the three of those things at the same time?
You don't hire an agent.
Okay.
And if you do, that's the one loophole they built in. So to Andy's point, now it's harder to make those threats because they made a rule. The owners always look out for the owners. So they made a rule after Kobe and after a couple other guys that, okay, we need to know if these players are in or out. We don't want them to be able to lord over us. No, I'm going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made that rule. The one exception they made that the players union apparently negotiated was if they don't have an agent, they can still stay in the transfer portal. But here's one thing you got to look out for. Eric Musselman, who got named the head coach at USC yesterday,
yep,
could sell ice to an Eskimo.
I know.
That dude
I know he can.
Is really, like, we'll get him on eventually. You know, Michael played for his dad at the University
Bill.
Of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And, but Eric is super smart. I would not be shocked if right now they're working on maybe a $3 to $5 million NIL deal for Bronny to come back to play at USC next year.
What is the most likely? And we're speculating here.
Yeah,
that is he playing college basketball next year? Or is he in the NBA? And we don't even have to talk about which particular team, but is he playing the college game or the pro game a year from now?
I think both options are available to him. He would not be like an NBA. I don't think. Would be an NBA impact player right out of the gate. I think
right.
He'd be a two-way player, maybe a G League player, and then he would work his way up. I think he's still only 19. But he's a freakish athlete, and he's really good. And what LeBron has done from the beginning has saying, hey, everybody slow their roll. Let this kid be a kid and let him make his own decisions.
You mean after he yeah. let everyone know that he wanted to play with his son and was talking about all that, slow your
roll?
Well,
the reason I'm bringing it up is I think that it's a real possibility he could go back to USC next year.
Yeah. If he's smart, he will
I
go back
with
to
you
USC.
On that. I agree with you on
or
that.
Or go somewhere
or,
else.
Or, yeah, or go yeah. to Oregon. Just play yeah. college and yeah. give yourself a couple years to
he's
see
not,
if you're an
by
NBA
any
player
accounts,
or not.
He's not ready for the NBA. There's no reason for him to rush himself to the
unless,
NBA.
Pops.
Unless, I mean, honestly.
Well, obviously, money's not an issue here. But
no, it's not.
It's
unless he wants to play with
the his unless
dad.
Is, unless LeBron Sr. really wants to play for him,
yeah.
and there's an opportunity where a team, says, look, we got the 12th spot on our team, the 15th spot on our team, whatever it is, a two-way deal, that
we'll
we can make it. There, you guys will play together, even if you're not on the court a ton together, but we can make this happen because
honestly,
the legacy of it all, I think, is incredibly important to him, and that is something that no one else is going to have on their resume. There's some stuff here that adds up.
I'm going to be honest.
And he said he's wanted to play with him.
Yeah, multiple times.
It's a bad look for LeBron if he does that. It's a really bad look.
Why?
Because you are basically announcing your son as the most nepo of nepo babies. Where you are strong.
Team's not going to care.
No, but it's bad for Bronny. Like, he's going to be coming into a league where people already think to some degree he's only in the place that he's in because of who his dad is. Sports is supposed to be about as pure a meritocracy as exists. And you're basically strong-arming a team, coaxing a team to bring in your son who's not ready so you can play with your son in mm-hmm. a way that actually is more about you than him.
But and
it's a terrible look for LeBron.
Okay, but here's what I don't understand about that whole take. If you can do it, why not do it?
Because it's a bad look for him. It looks bad
but
for
But why Ron. Does he care?
I'm kind of with Ireland on this one, that I don't think he really cares what Andy or Travis or
because
Alan or Ireland
he
thinks.
He should care, because if you're doing this for your legacy, you care what people think. That's the only reason
is,
you do things
and,
for your
and in
legacy.
All fairness, isn't his legacy locked in
cemented?
Stone?
No, but this was brought up as something that would be on his legacy.
Well, so the locked in stone thing I think is really interesting. the championships, the MVPs, the points.
Eight straight trips to the finals.
The eight straight trips to the finals. All of that stuff.
All-time leading scorer.
We're chipping it into the stone
top
tablet, right?
Right.
The things that we're leaving. But if you're...
Don't hire the guy who did Kobe's statue.
No, we'll get somebody else. We'll get somebody else. We'll have a spell checker on our statue.
Right.
You're putting together a resume that your attempt is to become the greatest player of all time and have it be unequivocal, right? That there's no more, it could be Wilt, it could be Jordan, could be Kareem. It's just, this is my guy. And you're not going to catch somebody in MVPs or titles, champion, or anything. One of the things that is pretty hard to argue against or just dismiss easily is, I was so good for so long, I still hung around this league long enough for my kid to get into it.
Right.
That's an amazing accomplishment.
And Andy, I don't understand your bad look thing. Bad look to who?
To LeBron. Is what you're saying, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but
he's not good enough.
Putting his needs ahead of his kids.
It's a bad look for Bronny. You're basically announcing, my kid is not good enough to be in the league unless I coax you to bring him in so I can be on your team.
Is there a scenario where he's in the league on a team that's not LeBron's?
Sure. Sure. Yeah,
marketing. He's good enough in a couple years.
I'm talking this draft cycle.
AK, he goes to Charlotte. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. Charlotte basically just takes him for the attention.
That attention's going to go away. He's not going to play.
I don't disagree with you.
But what if it's that what's the harm? We stink anyway.
I'm with Travis on this. I don't understand. Like, bad look. I guess I'm trying to think of guys at the end of their career that did things that you would think would ruin their legacy. Like, do you guys know?
I'm not saying it would ruin his legacy. I'm saying it's a bad look for him.
John, the bad look.
You're overshadowing your own son.
The bad look is, it doesn't seem like nobody's saying this guy's an NBA player today. Nobody is saying that. The bad look is, he comes into the NBA and it has nothing to do with his skill set. It has to do with he's the son of LeBron
James.
You're
basically using your son to prop up either part of your own legacy or to add something onto your resume.
If he was a baller, that's different, but nobody really feels that way.
What? Well, I don't think I don't think Bronny would embarrass himself. I mean, he's a good enough athlete where he could be on the court, but
he
could
barely be on the court for USC.
Right, but I don't think, if you know, there are a lot of people that just don't want to go to college, and if he's one of those people, I'm careful to say, you know, hey, if you don't want to go to school, if you have no interest in going to class and you want to go into the G League or you want to play for G League Ignite, which I guess is going away, then more power to you. But eventually he's going to have to, but I don't think he would embarrass himself. He's a freak athlete.
But if you just accelerate the process of, look, get him in and he'll either make it or will not make it based on his ability to play, right? That will sort itself out, and maybe it sorts itself out a little sooner than later if he's not quite ready for it. But that line at the end of the Wikipedia entry
I'm not talking about Bronny ending up in the league. If, say, just a team decides, Allen's point, let's just bring him in because he could bring us
attention. It's attention.
Yeah. Right. That's one thing. I'm talking about where it's obvious Bronny's on this team because LeBron said, if you bring in my son, I will join your team. It's a bad look for LeBron, in part because you are, I think, making your own needs bigger than that of your son. You're also basically conceding to everybody watching, my son's not qualified for this. The only reason he's on this team is because I made myself part of a package deal.
But Andy, do you know how many players you could say that about in the NBA?
Who?
I mean, every team's got two or three guys who will be out of the league in 2 years.
Because their father got them on the team?
No, but for whatever reason, they got on the team.
That's not comparable.
But is there a difference? What difference does it make?
Because those other teams took an earnest shot on those players. They thought those players could end up qualifying.
But what if it's
okay?
Wrong.
But I think the point you just made helps our side of the argument. Because think of it this way. I've said this is a John and Andy argument we've had for years. Andy values draft picks. I would trade all of them. I'm less Snead. F them picks. You know. Okay.
Draft thing, because I don't think they're going to pick.
John, you do that because you're in Los Angeles,
right?
If you're a Laker fan, if you were for the Oklahoma City Thunder, you would obviously your approach would be different.
A place where you can't get free agents. Yeah, it would be different. But my point to Andy's argument is, half of the players in the draft aren't going to make it anyway. But what difference does it make if you try this?
Because the difference is those other players that didn't make it in the league, you at least thought they were might be good enough. In this case with Braun, you're saying
they were real
I
candidates.
Don't think he's good enough, but LeBron is. That's the difference.
I guess my counter to you would be, it doesn't matter if we think they're good enough. Statistically, half of them aren't going to be good enough anyway.
Right. But at least you're trying to give yourself an honest shot at finding someone who is.
But how much worse is he than the other guy that's going to get picked 55th?
I think you're so underrating how good you have to be picked in the second
round.
I agree with you. If you are a second-round pick in the NBA, you are really good. Because you know how many players
I don't disagree with that.
Having said that, pull up the second round of any draft and count the amount of
the
people.
Of the 30 guys get drafted, right, maybe yeah. five
count the amount
it.
Of people who are going to make it. So what I'm saying is you can waste
so
a second round pick.
But why take a guy that you know isn't good enough? That's
because he's
silly.
LeBron's son, which is why I think goes back to your point.
Isn't it the cost of doing business, though, if you want to keep LeBron?
No. Honestly, man, I'm not wasting a roster spot on a kid that I know isn't good enough. First of all, LeBron's not going to lead the Lakers over this. This is silly.
Al, can you tell me the name of the guy? Is it Castleton?
Yeah.
Colin Castleton.
So what's the difference of having him in the last spot in your team and having Bronny James?
Because you actually think Colin Castleton could turn into an NBA player.
Austin Reeves was a two-way player. Caruso.
But there's many, many more that do not.
But again, you're missing the whole point of you're actually, in all those other cases, 100% of the other cases, you're picking somebody that you actually
here's my counter to that. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and say you actually think that this guy is going to turn into something. Statistically, factually, he's not.
But that's still better odds than the guy that you're saying we know he's not an NBA player.
You know, but to Travis's point, if you have Colin Castleton or Bronny James, what difference does it make?
The difference is hopefully in a few years the Castleton's actually an NBA player.
How do you know that Bronny won't be in a few years? He's 19.
I'll tell you why. If Bronny stays in college,
you,
like AK was saying, and all of a sudden next year the guy's averaging 15 points a game and he feels like he's actually a good college player, that's the difference.
Here's a good comp, you guys. So a couple years ago the Lakers drafted Max Christie.
Right.
And he came out, he was super skinny. I had questions as to whether or not he's ever going to make it. He now jumps higher, runs faster, and plays better than I ever imagined
the Lakers
he could.
Didn't
that could
have
be Bronny.
But the Lakers didn't have questions
sure
about
they
Christie.
Did.
No, they clearly thought they bought a draft pick to get Christie.
Right.
So they had no questions.
Are
about
you
it.
Convinced Jalen Hood-Schifino is an NBA player?
No, but I'm convinced they were.
Right. So why if
you used a first-round pick on Bronny James,
that's not a good idea.
I don't think we're talking about a first-round.
No,
is anybody talking about a first-round pick?
I think the only thing is grabbing him undrafted. If it's an undrafted two-way player,
I don't think that taking a late-round second-round pick or even a mid-round second-round pick and just saying if this will make LeBron happy, do it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Do it. And is he probably going to make it? Almost certainly no. Right? Is he that much worse of a pick than the guy that you might have taken otherwise? Maybe marginally.
I feel like you are setting up Bronny to look like an entitled brat around the league.
Could be.
You're setting him up to look like a guy.
I think that's less of a concern of everybody's.
But it should be to LeBron. That's his son, and he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
That's a parenting question,
but if you
not
can,
a basketball
if,
one.
You're right. He doesn't need to do it, but if
but there
you
is
can
no basketball
do it,
one.
Yeah. Why not do it?
Yeah.
Well, I gave you a bunch of
reasons.
I mean,
if you were Travis,
somebody's
going
to do it.
Yeah.
If
you were so successful at this radio station that you leaving would cripple the station and you say your son Bobby wants to be on the air.
I don't think I'd want to hire him, but go ahead.
Yeah. But what I would do if I was manager of audio operations, if I was Bergman, in order to keep you, I'd throw him on the LAFC pregame. You know? I mean, why not?
No.
Sorry, Mario.
Yes.
Best of luck, Daniel.
When you have the hammer in your hands, you swing it because you're not going to have it for very long.
That's what we're talking about.
But the difference is when you're Bronny and you have all these options in front of you and your great-grandchildren are set for life, I wouldn't ask my father to swing the hammer this way.
The hidden lead is that Eric Musselman's going to make SC really good at basketball.
I agree.
He's a really good coach.
Yeah. Married to a sportscaster.
Yeah. Daniel Sargent. That's right. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. Have a great weekend.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Morales mailed it in today.
Do we even get a generic?
We didn't even do a generic open.
No, we didn't have anything yesterday. So
no, it was there. Was there yesterday?
No. For Sedano and Cap and Andy and DeMarco, right? Andy, we just went bum, but they didn't have nothing.
Yeah. Well, in that case, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Really?
Mason is. I'm not even going to BS you guys. Mason's getting a colonoscopy.
Well, he talked about this yesterday.
Okay. I've had three of them. They are no fun. The worst part is, Greg, you haven't had one yet, right?
I have not. It's 50, right?
I have a history of it in my family, so I started at 40.
They've lowered it to 45 because my brother's not 50 and he's had one.
Andy, five years.
No for you?
Oh, I've had it.
You've had one?
Yeah.
Brian?
Nope, not yet.
All right, so Andy will back me up on this. I did not know you've had one, but if you're like me, the absolute worst part of it is the stuff you have to drink the night before to clear out your system.
I think that's like everyone.
But I mean, the actual colonoscopy itself, they put you out, you wake up, you're fine.
Easy.
But the night before is brutal. That's why you always want to get a morning appointment, because if not, you got to sit around all day with that stuff.
Yep, I mean, you will not sleep well the night before because you have to take your second dose in the middle of the night. And you are not going to be comfortable, but you get it over with and you just take a nap in the afternoon, you're fine. You feel fine the next day. Everybody should get theirs.
All right, so a bunch of stuff going on. I just got back from a long road trip. 6 games, 11 days. Lakers went 5-1. And we're going to start with the Lakers here, but I want to update you that the Dodgers are playing right now in Chicago. It is 6-5. Greg, does that mean the Dodgers have scored at least 5 runs in every game?
Yes, they have. That's 10 games that they've scored 5 runs in.
I think I read they're only the 6th team ever to do that, but they're losing. They're losing 6-5. So we have 11 total runs in this game. If I set the over, and we're in the 6th inning, bottom of the 6th.
Yeah.
If I set the over-under in this game at 16 for runs, you guys taking the over or the under? We're at 11 right now, 6-5 Cubs. Andy, over or under?
You know what? There's 2 men on base right now. I'm feeling the over.
Greg?
Over sounds about right.
All right. Now, would I have to go to 20? Brian, are you on the over?
I would go over.
Would I have
too,
to go to 20 to get anybody to take the under?
I would take the under on that.
I would take the under.
The 20 is aggressive.
16
Laura,
is,
what are you at 16?
Right on the cusp.
Over.
Okay, yeah, I think we're all over at 16, but it's right now it's 6-5 Cubs in the bottom of the 6th inning, so we'll keep an eye on that game for you. We're loaded. We've got a ton of stuff. We mentioned in the crosstalk that Michael Cooper got into the Hall of Fame. Could not be happier for Coop. I can tell you that the Showtime Laker guys I know, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Byron Scott, have been clamoring for this for years. Those guys could not be happier. Michael has been hammering this. Michael Cooper was the best defensive player. Oh boy, here comes 2 more runs.
Hey, over. Hey, over.
We didn't want that though.
Yes. That's a bad over.
Was that Hernandez that fell down, Greg?
Yeah, or if it was the center fielder, it would have.
I think it was the right fielder.
Then it was Teoscar Hernandez, yeah.
Yeah, and so now it's 8-5. Now we're at 13. But the Dodgers are not finishing this game with 5 runs.
No. I took the over.
So, but it's 8-5 with a runner on third and only 1 out. So they may lose this game, but
right now it's 8-5. But Michael Cooper getting into the Hall of Fame is going to make the day of all those old Showtime Laker guys. Can't wait. They'll all, I bet you they'll all be there,
you know what?
When he
it's,
goes in.
It's not just going to make the day of all those Showtime guys. It's going to make the day of so many fans, because I've heard from a lot over the years wanting to see the Lakers. First of all, the Lakers retire Michael Cooper's number.
Which put, they will now.
Well, they absolutely will now. And they'll put, the, yeah. you know, they want 21 up in the rafters. And there's always been this standard that they don't do it unless you're a Hall of Famer. But also, too, like, you can't, because you hear a lot of people who cover the league or are fans of the league talk about how players only look for their numbers. They only care about scoring. They don't care about defense. You can't say that, but then hold somebody like Cooper out, who was an elite defensive specialist, but say he didn't have the numbers.
If Dennis Rodman's in the Hall of Fame, Michael Cooper has
Ben
to
Wallace
be in the
is
Hall
in the Hall of
Fame.
And, the, yeah. and look, those guys should be. Rudy Gobert will likely be in the Hall of Fame. He will. I mean, he's had three or four defensive
and
players.
He might win it again this year.
I think he will win it this year.
I'm going to get into that later. But, oh boy, here comes more runs. Unless Hernandez runs this down. He did, but that's another run.
Over. Over.
9-5. I set the over-under at 16. It's at 14 right now. We still have three innings to go. But I want to get into the Lakers. For people who don't know, I always make a point of popping this. Andy and his brother Brian host the Locked on Lakers podcast. Is it Monday? Do you do a different one every day?
Yeah. It's Monday through Friday, John.
Okay.
Different show every day.
Is it only on the app?
Well, first of all, I just want to make sure this is clear. It's free. It's never behind the paywall.
Beautiful.
Anywhere you get your podcast. But if you're one of those people who enjoys watching podcasts, it's your day because it's on YouTube as well.
It has a YouTube component.
It has a YouTube component.
I don't think
component.
I've heard that before.
Yes.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
So I want to get into something with you guys. The Lakers have won 8 out of 9. They have not moved up at all, although they got a kiss last night from the Knicks. I texted Ben Lyons at the end of that game saying, if the Knicks blow this, I will never speak to you again. Fortunately, the Knicks did not blow it. Sacramento lost. And, oh, by the way, Sacramento at Boston tonight. So they could lose again. They're 9-point underdogs tonight. If they lose tonight, the Kings and Lakers will have identical records. The Kings have the tiebreaker, but still, the Kings have a tougher schedule from here to the end. So the Lakers could tie for the eighth spot tonight, with that caveat that the Kings have the tiebreaker. So, Andy, are you starting to feel like they're definitely the nine, or are you like me, you're holding out hope they can move up?
I am holding out hope, and it doesn't feel like hoping against hope, just because this is so fluid. You've got a team like the Pelicans that's all of a sudden dropping, and the Lakers, for people who are not aware, their final game of the season is against the Pelicans.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Right, so there is a real shot that game could actually matter. Like, I've decided...
Do you know what the latest on Zion is? I know he screwed up his finger.
Day-to-day.
So is he playing tonight, tomorrow night,
whenever
they
know.
Play
he,
again?
He had all been right. listed as day-to-day. I don't think there's clarity, though, on both... At least the last time I looked, Jose Alvarado and Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have missed.
I think Ingram's out until the playoffs.
Right.
But,
so, I mean, but that's a big deal for the Lakers.
So New Orleans could back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Lakers currently have the tiebreaker on them anyway.
All right. So when we come back, I want to ask this question. I don't understand, and I'm pretty sure, I know where Greg is on this. I know where Laura is on this. Andy, I think you're with Greg and Laura. I know Travis is in on this sentiment from Laker fans, people that root for the Lakers, who want LeBron out of here. I don't get it, and I'll explain coming up next. And in for Mace, I'm John Ireland. Let me tell you about Bibigo. Bibigo is the official game day snack of the Lakers. Mouth-watering Korean snacks and meals in minutes. You keep your freezer stocked with these things. I do now. I have a bunch of Bibigo in my freezer. If I ever don't have plans for dinner, I just heat it up and I'm good to go. They're Korea's number one food brand. They're making the whole world more delicious. Minimum effort, maximum flavor. Available at all major grocery stores in the freezer aisle. Bibigo Mandu are the largest, juiciest dumplings in the market. Every day is the day to live delicious with Bibigo, the official game day snack of the Lakers. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, today it is Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland, as Mason is, he's getting a colonoscopy today, and then he's off all next week, so he'll be back in a couple weeks. But the Lakers are coming off of their most successful road trip of the season, 5-1 on a 6-game trip. Their only loss was against Indiana. And sometimes when I'm flying around on these road trips, I try and listen to this show to catch up, so I know what you guys have talked about, what you haven't talked about. And I'm very curious about something. Brian, I'm not sure where you are in this, but I know Laura and Greg are there, and Andy, I think you're with them. This sentiment that you guys are anxious, and don't, Laura, I'll start with you, because I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're anxious for LeBron to leave. Is that a fair representation of your position?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Why?
I mean, okay, so my thing is, and you know, I'm sure you heard it, I don't think he's going to win another championship with the Lakers, personally. I feel like, okay, thank you, your time was served here. I don't think you want to be here. We need that money to...
Why do you think he doesn't want to be here?
I've never felt like he really wanted to be in LA. I personally always thought that it was more of other ventures, and the Lakers are a shiny jewel that obviously helped him create.
Well, no, you mean you never thought he wanted to be a Laker. He wanted to be in L.A.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I disagree with that, but I'll pivot on that for a second. Greg, is that a fair representation of your position, that you're anxious for LeBron to leave?
Not anxious. I appreciate everything LeBron's given, but as Laura was basically trying to say, is that if you think that he is not going to win a championship with the Lakers, then it's time to move on. I would not give him a multi-year deal. I would let him finish out his contract and then move on.
By the way, I should point out that his contract is player option for next year.
Correct.
If he opts in, $51 million. Most people think he'll opt out. Andy, where are you on this?
I feel like at this point you're pot committed with LeBron, because even if LeBron leaves, you're not gaining enough cap space to do anything with whatever savings anyway. Like, even if LeBron and D'Lo walked, because of all the other contracts you have on the books, you only have about $30 million in cap space. So at this point, if you're going to have LeBron walk, you need to be moving Anthony Davis. Like, if LeBron walks, the only way to really do anything with that is to truly blow the team up.
Okay. If that's true, and I think that there is some truth in that, why would you do that?
I'm not saying that they should do that. I'm just saying if you want LeBron to leave, what you are saying, whether you realize it or not, is you want a total reset.
Brian, where are you on this?
I'd like to see LeBron stay, honestly.
All right. You and me are lockstep. Now, I don't know if LeBron's going to stay or not. I don't know if he's going to pick up his option. My sense of it is he will probably opt out, ask for a 3-year deal, which, Greg, you would not give him.
I would not. Well, not at $180 million, 60 a year.
And here's my argument. There are a little more than 500 players in the NBA. There are 15 All-NBA players, 15. LeBron's going to be All-NBA again this year. Probably third team, maybe second.
I think third.
But I just came off this road trip. LeBron didn't play good on this trip. He played great. I know the opponents were not like the world thing, but that run to the Western Conference Finals last year, that was LeBron. Why would you want to move away from a guy who's playing that well?
This is the reason why. And again, I preface this by saying at this point, they're pot committed. If LeBron leaves, they don't have a lot of immediate ways to get better and build around AD. But the reason is the version of LeBron that you have right now on this road trip or in last year's playoffs, that's not the LeBron that you get for the first 40 to 50 games of the year, because LeBron at this age has to pace himself through the entire season. And contrary to what Laker fans always say, the regular season actually matters. And it is extremely difficult at LeBron's stage of his career right now, playing the type of minutes he does with the responsibilities that he has, to actually get yourself up to like a 4 seed, up to a 3 seed. It's damn near impossible for all the stuff you need to do for LeBron. Once you get to the playoffs, yes, that version of LeBron is going to be great, but it's always going to be a harder road through the playoffs.
If he does what he did last year, let's say they get the 7 or the 8, but they make a run to the Western Conference Finals, will you change your mind?
No, because I'm right. I'm correct. It's always going to be harder. I said you'll end up like a 7 or 8 seed. It's always going to be difficult. And last year, they had a perfect draw.
Correct.
I'm not taking anything away from them. They played well, but they had a perfect draw. You can't constantly count on a perfect draw.
They're right now in the 9 seed. They're not moving from the 9 seed. After a 20-8 record from February 1st, they're still in the 9 seed. But this team and him being in the play-in, having to play 2 games in a play-in just to get into the actual playoffs, not actually maximizing him in any sense.
Right. First of all, that's not a lock that they're going to have to play 2 games. If the season ended today, you're right.
Yes.
But here's the thing I don't get with you, Greg, because you grew up here.
Yeah.
You know that this is a star-driven town, and that Spectrum...
I believe it's a star-effing-driven town.
Yeah.
It is a star-effing-driven town. Ask John.
Star-effing-driven town. So, and Laura, you know this, if they get rid of LeBron, who are you bringing in? And to Andy's point, if he leaves, you don't have cap space to go get anybody. What's the next move? If you guys get your wish and LeBron opts out and leaves, what's the next move for the Lakers?
This is happening whether we like it or not at some point in the next couple of years.
Correct.
Do we want this to happen now and start rebuilding and start getting to this? So in 2 years, 3 years, we're ready to be building into a spot where we want to be? Or do you want to wait 3 years of sitting in the play-in and fighting for our chance to make it to the actual playoffs every single year? I think it's better if we don't think, that's the question, it always is, can you win with another championship with LeBron? If the answer is no, you do it now. If the answer is yes, you keep it and you keep moving.
What if the answer is no, they won't win another championship with LeBron, but and this is my argument, he gives them the best chance. Without LeBron, you have no chance. With LeBron, you have a puncher's chance. But you didn't answer my question. No. The next move, after LeBron goes, what's your next move?
I mean, the next move, you start going after waiting for... Donovan Mitchell has an opt-out coming up, and not next year, the year after. Maybe go after Donovan Mitchell.
Why wouldn't you want to have Donovan Mitchell and LeBron?
Well, of course, but you have to... Donovan Mitchell, LeBron, and Anthony Davis would be great, but if that's very unlikely happening, because then you're moving off of Austin Reeves, you're moving off of Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell, you're moving off of all of your bench.
You guys took me where I wanted to go. And Andy, this is because you talk to more fans than anybody. Why are fans so quick to bail on D'Angelo Russell? I saw this stat the other day. He became just the third player ever to have 200 threes, 400 assists, all while shooting better than 40% from three. The other two are Steph Curry and Damian Lillard. Why are people... In general, you tell me if people still are. Why are people down on D'Lo? I'm really up on D'Lo.
D'Lo has always been a guy who's been polarizing around the league. Because he's extremely streaky. I think his personality can sometimes seem very nonchalant, very too cool for thou. Like, look, I have always been in the minority, living by myself on D'Lo Island. Like, ever since his rookie year, when basically everyone hated him because of the whole Nick Young thing and him and Byron Scott feuding.
Snitch.
Like, I've always liked D'Lo. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a really fun guy, interesting guy to cover. He's having a spectacular year.
Right. You said, and I don't think you're wrong, you said streaky.
Yeah.
And he has been. But isn't the stat I just read the opposite of streaky?
Well, this year.
Right.
But this year has been a
career. So he's
developed
into what you hope, right?
I agree. And look, I believe that who you are at 24 is not necessarily who you're going to be at 28, 30. But if you're asking, like, why are fans willing to bail on D'Lo so quickly, the truth is every team he's ever played for, including the Lakers, have been willing to bail on D'Lo. Like, D'Lo has said...
Yeah, he's already in his fifth team, right?
Yeah, and every team he's ever played for, including the Lakers, have traded him once. D'Lo's acknowledged, my contract was set up to make it easier to trade. So, really, a lot of fans are just echoing sentiment around the league, including in El Segundo.
Yeah, I just think that he's now developed into what you hoped he would develop into, and to cut bait on him now would be stupid.
Well, I'll tell you this, like, this period we've seen of D'Lo, and also too how little the Lakers have moved despite him playing so well, really shows they made the right call not trading him for DeJounte Murray.
Yeah,
because they would have given up capital to get Murray and they would have been no better.
And guys, I don't know if you're noticing this, but he is shooting threes from like 30 feet and consistently making them.
He's going
Clay Steph distance.
He's also catching, and it's a catch and shoot, like right at the top of it.
Which is what you need with LeBron and AD.
Just immediate shot.
He's a top five player. When he's on, he's a top five player in the league, D'Lo, in terms of just pure swag. Like his swag is off the charts when he's on.
And really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm very high on the Lakers right now. They've won 8 out of 9. That's why. I mean, it could have come all crashing down. And I'm stunned at the amount of people, including the majority of you, who are like, yeah, we got to get rid of LeBron. We got to move on from D'Lo. I'm like, we've won 8 out of 9, folks. I know we haven't moved up in the standings, but let's see how this ride ends. It could careen off the road and be a spectacular crash and burn in the play-in tournament.
They're 11 games above 500.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. Why are people mad? I mean, it seems weird. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Laura's got one for us. And also, we'll get into the Dodgers and everything that happened with this stupid Ohtani baseball story. That's all coming up next. ESPN LA.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, guys. So this came up on my Twitter X, whatever you guys want to call it, timeline. And I was so sad. So the 99 cent store is closing. And this,
really?
Yeah, they're going under, man. They're going under. They're closing all their stores. And I called my mom and told her, and she was devastated because this is one of her favorite places. And it was also a place that when I behaved well when I was little, because things were a dollar, my mom would let me go around the store and grab 5 to 10 things that I wanted, whether it was like a toy, you know, a drink or whatever. And I started to think, like, what is a store that is no longer around that reminds you of your childhood?
All right, I've got an easy one. I don't know if any of you guys know. Greg, you might. You know, Andy, you grew up in St. Louis, so you might not. Do any of the three of you, Brian, Greg, Laura, remember Ferrell's?
That was mine.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah. Like the ice cream?
Yeah. That was yours.
I said it to Laura earlier.
Yeah. So Ferrell's was
That's amazing.
Was this
ice cream.
Ice cream parlor is what they called it.
Yeah.
And they would challenge you to go, like, you could order an earthquake, which was 8 different scoops of ice cream in a trough. And do you remember what you got, well, Greg, if you finished it?
No, I don't remember.
I was
little.
That said, I made a pig of myself at Ferrell's. And you remember how they used to bring it out like it was two firemen, like, you know, with a stretcher, and they would run, and they'd have like a
the fire
siren coming out, and And so for me, that would be it. Farrell's. Was there a Farrell's kind of joint in St. Louis?
By the way, Farrell's. Just 1 second, Andy. Sorry, Farrell's. It was originally called Barrels when it was on Topanga and Ventura.
Yeah,
the one there it was Barrels. They changed or Farrell's, and they changed it to Barrel's.
I'm assuming it's now gone, right?
I think it's gone. It's gone from there, but I think there might still be one or two around still.
All right, Andy, what's it for you?
For me, it's Streetside Records. It was an awesome record store. There was like two or three of them in St. Louis. They had an incredible selection, and they had like people running the store who truly loved music. It's like I have vivid memories of being like 9 or 10, riding my bike to Streetside. Like I remember the first album I ever bought with my own money was Controversy by Prince.
Right.
I think I was 9 years old, rode my bike there. And I have a Streetside Records t-shirt. There's a company
No longer there.
No, it's not there. It's actually, there's this company. All you guys actually listening to this should check out this company. They're called Bygone Brand. And it's something I wish I'd thought of this. It's like hats and t-shirts that they made up all places that have gone out of business.
Oh, that's smart.
So it's a pure nostalgia play. It's great.
All right, Greg, yours is the same as mine. Brian, what's it for you?
This one was easy for me. Toys R Us. You know, you don't see them too much
anymore.
Well,
they went out of business.
They might be coming back, but yeah, they all went out of business.
So fun.
Going in there as a kid, like, yeah, so my parents were like, okay, pick one toy kind of deal. Man, right. I used to ride the bikes inside the store and stuff like that. That was
You heavy. Had money, bro. I went to the 99 cent store. You were at Toys R Us.
So Laura, for you, is the 99 cent store the answer?
It's one of them. Like, I personally, one of the stores that I loved as a teenager was Tower Records. Like, I loved
Me
going
too.
In there. But yeah, when I was little, when I was like, you know, 6, 7 years old, I remember my mom was like, here's a 99 cent store, go get what you want.
So I did have another one. Like, there was an Alpha Beta shopping center in Calabasas. It was Woodland Hills at the time.
Yep.
And next to it, I know they still have them, but it was a card shop, like a trading card store. They were all over the place. And now they don't really have them like that anymore, like a trading card store.
Right. Right.
I would go in there for hours and hours and just trade cards with people and like buy all the packs and open them up.
Pokemon.
It was great.
You mentioned
not
Tower,
Pokemon.
You mentioned Tower Records. There's a great documentary that Colin Hanks, Tom's kid, made about Tower Records. You know, after they went out of business. Also, what does this do for the 98 cent store? Like, are they just going to start bigfooting that?
Is there
that
such
territory?
A thing
yes.
as the 98
there's
cent
there's a 98
store?
Okay.
cent store.
There's a 98 cent store, but they're not like real 98 cent stores. They're like, you know, they have a bunch. And the 99 cent store hasn't been 99 cents for a long time. Dollar Tree is not dollar anymore. They have like $7 things. I unfortunately think that all these stores are just going to go out of business.
Yeah. By the way, Sally expensive. On YouTube says there's a Farrell's in Santa Clarita.
There you go.
Whoa.
Home of Lisa Ireland, grew up in Santa Clarita. All right. So the story that won't go away, but by the way, they've hit, well, I set the over under at 16. They're at 16 now, 9-7 Cubs, 2 innings to go, top of the 8th. So there's this story about Shohei Ohtani that has gone crazy. This woman caught Shohei Ohtani's first home run as a Dodger. Her name is Amber Roman. And she says security pressured her into taking a bad deal in exchange for the ball. They gave her a different ball, two caps, and a bat, all signed by Shohei. Ohtani said he met the fan, but she says that's not true. The Dodgers say they're open to having more conversations with her. Andy, where does this story go from here? What should she do next?
Well, first of all, she should guilt them into getting whatever she wants.
Which would be what, though? What would you ask for?
This is where I think it's really tricky, because the first place that people usually go to with this is money. Like, you get money from the player. You have the player purchase the ball from you. But Shohei Ohtani, given everything that's going on with him right now, I think is the last player who's going to be in a mood to barter. Like, in any way, or to feel like you're even giving the slightest bit of access or awareness of your money to a stranger. And I actually think that's part of the reason why they're in this mess, is because Ohtani is so insulated, like insanely insulated. I feel like if he was more accessible, I can't say for sure, but likely this doesn't happen, because he's probably immediately thinking, yeah, I should be in front of this fan. This is the thing that you do. The fact that he wouldn't automatically meet with the fan, I think, is really indicative of just the whole Shohei process.
Greg, what should this fan do next?
So the fan's already doing something. Bill Plaschke wrote an article today, updated a column with the Dodgers have reconnected with Amber and will host them at a future game, and the Dodgers are going to review their home run ball procedures. But I think this story is completely been blown out of proportion. For the most part, this woman, what she did, and they took her away from her family, which I understand is tough, but she got two hats, she got a bat, and
yeah,
a ball, right? Like, no, she was happy. She was happy. And she came out, and she in the morning, she put it on Twitter and said, here's me catching the ball, I'm happy. And then people all went into her replies and all that stuff, said, oh, you could have gotten so much more. You could have gotten, and she said, oh, I could have? I can get $100,000? You weren't getting $100,000. So that's a problem to me.
Laura, what do you think?
All right, so I was with the fan. I was like, you know what? You're a fan. You want to give him the ball because it means a lot to him. Then the report yesterday when we were on air hit that the Dodgers made it very difficult for her. Then I was like, nah, girl, you should have gotten your bag. Because my thing is, if she was really willingly just gave it up, which, again, conflicting stories now the next day, I would want season tickets and free parking.
I actually, you took me, Brian, by the way, are you with the fan or with the Dodgers on this?
With the fan. I would have got some tickets out of that for sure.
I think the easiest way to make this go away would be to give this couple season tickets and have Shohei present it to him at home plate. And then the whole story goes away.
Yep.
Now, Lon Rosen, who is kind of in charge of things like this, is a really smart guy. I've known Lon for 30 years. He used to work for the Lakers. Lon will get into this and make this go away. He's smart enough where I think this is not going to drag on. But am I the only one who thinks, and Greg, you alluded to it, I think this woman is an opportunist. She could have easily held on to the ball and just said, I'm keeping it. And then
right,
after, she was happy. Like you say, Greg, she was happy.
Yep.
People said, no, you
right,
can't
but the,
be happy.
No, but
you
the
need
Dodgers,
more money.
A big reason she couldn't hang on to the ball, or at least felt like she couldn't, is the Dodgers said they wouldn't authenticate it. And if they don't authenticate it, then it just becomes a baseball.
Well, okay, you say that, but if you can show them the video of Shohei hitting a home run and her catching the ball and putting it in her hand.
Yeah,
that's authenticated.
But to all the other baseballs that
right,
she
can
that's
just show
exactly.
from
right, but also that's assuming that she wants to sell it. Like, why? Like,
but she can't, but... Whatever options she has, the minute she leaves the park and that ball isn't authenticated, the ball's worthless.
Exactly.
She has no options.
But it's not like, for the most part, you're probably keeping that ball.
No, but I'm saying you're keeping it because it's not worth its value.
She caught it.
But if that was the case, then she would say, I don't need anything. I'm just walking out of here with my baseball.
She was happy.
Do you guys have any memorabilia that you're like super... I don't, and I've been a sportscaster for 30 years. I don't have any. I don't understand the whole memorabilia culture. If I'm that fan and Shohei, and they came to me and said Shohei wants the ball, take it.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Nope.
Now, if she feels like the Dodgers screwed her, I'd like for her to explain how.
Because again, the biggest part of it is, according to her, if she's being truthful, the Dodgers said you have to take this offer, or we're not going to authenticate the ball, and at that point, the ball becomes worthless.
Okay, but. Are the Dodgers obligated to authenticate every foul ball that goes into the stands
no,
or home
run? No, but
they
are authentic. They should authenticate a historic ball.
Right, but if they don't, I'm not going to criticize them for it. I mean, but they make that announcement as soon as you get there. You're free to keep any ball hitting to the stand.
Right,
she
but they're
kept
not
it.
All
they're
historic.
Not-
I mean, John, they're not all historic balls. This is a historic baseball.
Why?
It meant something to Ohtani. He wanted
Ohtani's
it back.
First home
to
run
him,
as a Dodger.
As a Dodger.
But the only reason it meant something
was,
is because it's historic.
That was home run number 172 in his seventh season.
Number,
it means
number
nothing.
One, number one is a Dodger. Though.
As a Dodger.
As, number one is a Dodger.
Okay.
Okay, you're a
so
Dodger
what?
Fan. You know that's big.
No, it's not.
And
it's for
big
him.
For him.
If it was number 500,
okay,
like,
but
cool,
it's big,
I get it.
But
it's 300. Cool, I get it.
But it's big for him. And?
But okay, big for him. It's not big for somebody else. Hey, we're putting up on the auction. Home run number 172.
But a lot
number
of people.
Number one, though, would
but
be
a lot
more
of
valuable
people
than 172.
Yeah.
But no, it's 172 is for
a
career. Number one of
number
his career
one in this
with the Angels.
Context would mean something.
This is 172, but it was the first with the Dodgers.
Right, because people
change.
Are actually expecting his Dodgers career to matter as opposed to the first 172 with the Angels.
And the one with the Angels, they got to meet him, too. Like, I saw the picture there, like, oh, we got to meet them. She didn't. According to reports, she had, but I guess she didn't.
Well, the way they can make this go away is just give them season tickets and
parking.
Well, parking too. Whatever. I mean, they're going to play all the games anyway.
It's a problem. Right. I'm not saying it infixable, but the Dodgers handled this badly. They just did.
I agree with that. The Dodgers did handle it poorly, but apparently that's how the Dodgers handle every single home run ball. Teoscar Hernandez's first home run ball, they probably handled
it. Nobody cares about that.
Exactly. But like that's how they handle every home run ball, so they handled it the same for Shohei.
If I'm a player, by the way, I have no interest in that ball. I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to hit a bunch more. Who cares?
But again, it's the first. It's memorabilia. If it's your career, you might be sentimental about it, and you want to own your own part of history.
So I get it for Shohei being sentimental about it because he wanted to be a Dodger from a young age. We told the story before he signed or right after he signed that he had it in his notebook that like I'm going to be a Dodger at some point. So that could mean something to him. It shouldn't mean anything to anybody else. I think it's just massively blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I think it'll go away. By the way, it's funny we're having this conversation right now as we speak. Shohei is the tying run at the plate with a 3-2 count in the top of the eighth.
Oh!
And he just crushed a ball to center field, but I think it's going to stay in the park.
Yeah,
very, very windy. He got under it a little bit.
Yep, so he flew out. But the Dodgers will still have three more at-bats to try and tie this. They're down 9-7. Coming up, 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. Talk about the Lakers, you can talk about LeBron, you can talk about Shohei, you can talk about anything we've talked about, or you can go off the board and talk about something you want to bring up. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Andy Informace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.